I knew before I was away for a couple weeks, I knew I wanted to preach on this. I had this already outlined on my desk. And there's been an emphasis in my preaching for the last, I would say, 2 years, trying to preach on and about more and more Jesus Christ. If you remember, I preached a series not too long ago, Jesus Is. And then a number of different examples that the New Testament gives us of what Jesus is. He's a good shepherd, and he's the door, and he's the bread of life, and so many examples like that. And then not too long ago, I preached through those chapters in John 14 through 17, roughly there. Jesus's very last words as he was heading from the upper room to the crucifixion or to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he would be arrested. As he was traveling those steps and having those last moments with his apostles and with his disciples that night, he gave them some final words. And we have a number of really important passages in there. Think of John 15 and the true vine, and so much in those chapters about the Holy Spirit that he would leave them with after he was gone, and a number of other things that were of utmost importance. I preached a series of messages just on those chapters, things that Jesus had taught there in the final moments that he had with his apostles here before the crucifixion. But as it's all based off of this thought, we see this throughout the book of Acts. We saw again in just number 40 that they were preaching in the name of Jesus. And in verse 42, after they had been arrested and then beaten and then let go, they were told, stop talking about Jesus, stop preaching about Jesus. It says they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the emphasis of the message. We live in a time, I think, where we would agree, an era. I've heard this talked about by a number of different pastors or religious groups and conferences as they get together. We see so many young people that maybe have grown up in church that have fallen away from the church or have walked away from their childhood faith. They've gone to college and had a change of perspective or change of mind, if you will, and have not followed through. And so there's a broad perspective there. I'm talking multi-denominational or multi-type of churches where people are concerned about that. Religious people, pastors, denominational leaders are concerned. What's going on? Why do so many seem to, as they get older, become, I'll use the word enlightened, in cultural things or in contemporary issues, walk away from their faith? We have here at Cedar Hill Baptist Church, we are a strong Bible-based, Bible-preaching ministry. And we have been, and we're going to continue to be, and we will be as long as you and I are here. How's that? That's our pact. As long as we're here, we're going to keep it a strong Bible-preaching, Bible-centered church. But I think what has been lost in some of that is the personal relationship in Jesus Christ. We know him as Savior. I'm not talking about salvation. All right. We come to a point where we are lost. We understand our need for a Savior, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he becomes our personal Savior. And often it seems that maybe our relationship starts to stagnate then, or starts to temper down a little bit. I want to encourage us to build our relationship with Jesus Christ, to have a walk with Jesus Christ. I want to instill that in my preaching. And so today's kind of a explanation message of where many more of my future messages will be directed. I want us to have a walk with Jesus Christ. I want us not to know about Jesus Christ, but to know him. My life verse has always been Philippians 3:10. The Apostle Paul says that I may know him. That I may know him. So I want us to have a heightened importance of having the personal walk with Jesus Christ. These disciples went forth. Here they are in Acts chapter 5. This is early in the book of Acts. This is early in the first church ministry. And I'm not getting away from what we always do, and that is preach the word of God. But when in Acts 5:42, it didn't say they ceased not to teach and preach the Bible. It doesn't say that. In fact, we would argue here in Acts chapter number 5, they didn't have the entirety of the Bible that you and I are blessed with today. John hadn't been on the Isle of Patmos yet. Revelation hadn't been written. Paul, the apostle, hadn't written any of the Pauline epistles yet. They were just starting to put together the Gospels as we know them. They had the Old Testament as we know it. They were forming the Gospels and writing the Gospels as we know them. The Pauline epistles haven't been written yet. Revelation hasn't been written yet. Jesus's earthly brother, James, hadn't written his epistle yet. Those things hadn't been formed. By the end of the first century, they'll have those things and they'll have the Bible. What a blessing it is to have the entirety of the Word of God, the entirety of the Scripture. But here they are beginning the church age. They don't have all that yet. But they knew Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They had seen Jesus. Jesus had changed their lives. They had been fishermen and tax collectors, and one of them was a doctor, and we know a little bit of their personal backgrounds, and they had come together, and Jesus had changed them. They had given up all that stuff and walked away from their fishing nets and followed Jesus Christ. They had seen his life, and here we are in Acts chapter 5. They had seen his ministry, his life, what he had done. They had seen him be falsely accused and hung on the cross of Calvary. They had seen. Some of these had run to the empty tomb on that first Easter Sunday morning, had seen the stone rolled back and seen the grave clothes folded where his body had been laid. They saw it. They were there. They were out on the boat when Jesus came and found them, brought them back and said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." They had preached the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them like a strong, mighty, rushing wind. And they had seen these prophecies fulfilled. They had seen the life of Christ in front of them. They had seen the resurrection it was visible. It was personal. It changed them. And now the book of Acts tells us they're going to go forth and turn the world upside down. And what is it that they preached? What was the message that they had? Listen to me. I'm not belittling this, but they did not begin a verse by verse walk through the book of 1 Thessalonians or 2 Corinthians. They preached Jesus. They preached about Jesus. They had seen Jesus. Jesus had changed them, and they couldn't help but stop not talk about it. In Acts chapter 5, they'd been arrested for talking about Jesus and for preaching about Jesus. They'd been beaten. They'd been commanded by the officials, "This is what you're going to stop doing. You're going to stop talking about this Jesus guy." So the next verse tells us they went out and did what? Ceased not to teach and preach about Jesus Christ. They couldn't stop talking about it. They couldn't stop sharing it. Why? Jesus had changed their lives. And so this is my emphasis. We are a strong Bible preaching church. Thank goodness we have the entirety of the text. But I want to make sure that our children, as they grow up through our church, that our teenagers, as they go forth from our church, that our young people sitting in the church, that our senior citizens sitting in this church have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And not only a head knowledge about the Bible, but that we know, listen, I can't help but tell you what Jesus Christ did for me. And you might try to undermine my faith, and you might try to belittle my Bible, and you might try to make fun of what I believe. And yes, I've always been taught that God created everything in 6 days, but now I'm going to go and sit in some crazy professor's lecture where he's going to talk about everything that's contrary to what my Sunday school teacher teaches me. I'm going to go, "Yeah, I know, but the Bible said, and Pastor West said, and Sunday school teacher said, and Terry Oshel and Glenn White told us in Sunday school, and boy, we heard this, but the professor's saying that's silly. You're just following an old book. That's silly. And people's faith begins to crumble. Listen, this is what cannot change. Ready? Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I know Jesus. And I have to tell you what He did for me. We may not be able to be a scholar and to hang with that crazy professor who thinks he's going to try to outwit us on our knowledge of the Bible. That's a struggle to try to, listen, it can be done, but it is a struggle to try to hang with this professor that is well versed in how to trip you up on the Bible. But no one can change your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can sit there all day long and criticize everything you want about my faith, but let me tell you something. I know Jesus personally, and you cannot undermine my walk with Him. I can tell you that He walks with me and He talks with me. I can tell you that He answers my prayer. I know that He came and He changed my life. And that's what these apostles had. These guys were not, listen, we know this. They were not highly educated individuals. They were fishermen. They were common blue-collar people. They didn't have all the indoctrination of the schools of the Pharisees. They weren't as well versed on their biblical knowledge as the scribes were. But they had something that the Pharisees and the scribes didn't have. They knew Jesus. They walked with Jesus. Jesus had changed their lives. And they went out. Listen, the Bible tells us they went out and turned the world upside down. They changed things. The church grew day after day. People got saved. People were baptized. Why? Because they had some great theological explanation? No, because they knew Jesus. Because Jesus had made an impact and a change in their life. Some of these other tools that you and I have weren't developed yet, right? The church was in its early stages. You and I, it's such a blessing to be in a church. And I say that being, I mentioned briefly, you know, first time in my life, you know, because of the travel there, two Sundays in a row, I wasn't here. Well, that hasn't happened in 15 years since I've been your pastor. Two Sundays in a row, I wasn't here. You all tell me this when you come back from trips and from vacations and from work things and stuff like that. But boy, you miss it, don't you? You miss the fellowship. You miss being here. You miss the. Listen to me. There's no special spirit in the church other than the fact that the church building is full of people who have the same spirit. And that in itself brings a calm and a peace and a release. I enjoy being in church with you all. These folks here in Acts chapter number 5, the church was just beginning. They were just meeting in fact, it tells us in verse 42, they were still talking in the temple, and the leaders of the temple didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ, right? That was some of the problem that they had. They were in the temple and in every house. So they had little house churches, and they would try to meet in some public places like the temple where they weren't really welcome. They didn't have a church building. They didn't have a place to assemble. They didn't have church history. They weren't able to sit around and talk about, boy, remember the pastor we had growing up? Nope. The church is only months old right now. It's just in its infancy stages. They didn't have a place. They didn't have a history. They didn't have a tradition. The church was new. They didn't have that. You and I have that. You and I can look back and remember and reflect and think about the pastors we had and the teachers that we've had and the fellowship we've had and places in the past and churches we grew up in and churches our grandparents took us to. Many of us have that type of history and have that type of remembering to fall back on. They didn't have that. They didn't have a church body like we do today. They didn't have the entirety of the Bible. I mentioned that briefly. And the Holy Spirit was a whole new thing to them, right? The day of Pentecost had just happened. That was a whole new thing. They're just trying to figure out how to drive that train, right? I mean, here they are filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that look like to them? This is brand new. You and I The moment we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. They remember a life of faith in God without the Holy Spirit. Think of what they dealt with. And this was a big change. These were people who believed in God and were faithful followers. And then suddenly, Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit. And now that's a whole new thing. It's a very transitional period of time here. Very traditional period of time for the early Christians as they're trying to figure all this out and they're wrestling. You and I think we do. I think we take the Bible for granted. I think we take our church for granted. I think we take the Holy Spirit for granted. I read one of those things the other day that, you know, you and I are going to get to heaven and talk to Daniel and say, so how was that? Stopping the mouths of lions. Right? How was that? How was that night in the lion's den, buddy? And he's going to say, yeah, I don't care about that. Tell me how it was to have the Holy Spirit in your life every day. And we're going to go, what? Yeah, I don't know. He's like, but that must have been something. To have the Holy Spirit with you all the time. Because he didn't have that. Our Old Testament saints didn't have that. We have. Look at the opportunities we have today. So we have these things. We have the church that we're a part of and a history of. And we have the Word of God entirely. All of it. We know exactly what God wants and what he's thinking, what his plans are for us. It's perfect and fulfilled and we can trust it. We live our lives by it. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But the message should be exactly the same that the first church had. We must not cease to preach Jesus Christ. We've got to be busy telling others about him. We've got to have that personal relationship. I believe it's essential. Listen, I believe it's essential to keeping our youth. I alluded to that already, but I think it's essential. I think we've filled our children with knowledge of Bible stories, right? They know the Bible stories. In fact, some of our teachers talk about, you know, even when we're looking at curriculum, a lot of our teachers are talking about the fact, boy, we need some. Can we get some new curriculum? Because as soon as we start to tell the story, the kids are all like, oh, we know this story. We know all about it. They can tell us all about Daniel and the lion's den and David and Goliath and Elijah and the ravens feeding him. I mean, we can go on and on. They know the stories. So they have a knowledge. If they've grown up in church, they have a head knowledge, a knowledge of what the Bible is all about. But do they know Jesus Christ? I mean, walk with him. How are we doing in our relationship with him? Do we know him so well that he is a brother to us? The Bible says he should be like a brother to us. We should be able to pray. I saw it on our sign as we pulled in this morning. Brother Grove updates our sign. Do we have conversations in our prayer life? Is it a conversation? I think so often our prayer becomes very traditional, very formatted, very, very, very much the same. The Bible talks about that. We need to be careful of that. We don't want to have vain repetitions in our prayers. Our prayer should be conversational, and it's conversational if we know the other person, if we know them, if they're our friend, our brother, our father. If we have that type of relationship, we can have that type of conversation with them. Do we know the Lord? I wrote down some things. You know, we know the Bible. We believe the Bible. Of course we should. The Bible is 100% accurate in everything that it tells us. That is our foundation in everything. But you know what else is neat? When we know Jesus and have people start to question the Word of God, here's a great answer. I heard a pastor say this not long ago, and I wrote it down. I thought it was great. You know, a lot of what we believe is not only because the Bible says it, listen, but Jesus believed it too. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus talks all about creation. Talks about how God made Adam and God made Eve. And he talks about a lot of it in a first person because he was there. Because he's Jesus Christ, he's divine, he's always been. And so Jesus Christ, you know, listen. That professor comes along and says, well, you believe this Bible stuff about creation and God making everything and a young earth. And, you know, isn't it great to say, yeah, okay, but I'll tell you who else believes it. Jesus believed it. Argue with him. Yes, I believe it. Yes, the Bible says it. Jesus believed it too. When he walked on this earth, he talked about it. Wasn't new to him. Wasn't a surprise to him. He didn't shy away from it. Jesus believes the story of creation. Jesus believed he was God. We don't just say that. We don't just say it. Jesus said it. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so we don't just think Jesus was a good person. And we don't just believe Jesus because the Bible says so. We believe Jesus is God because Jesus believed Jesus was God. Jesus believed it. Jesus said it. Jesus walked it. Jesus talked it. Is he our friend? Do we have that type of relationship with him? Or is it just a head knowledge that we have? Listen, the Bible's got to become personal to us. And here's what I'm saying. Again, I'm no way undermining the Word of God, but we don't have a personal relationship with the Bible. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, we have a personal relationship with God. We have a personal relationship with the people. The people wrote the book. Thank goodness. That's why we trust it. That's why we stand firmly upon it. That's why we know it's the truth. But our relationship is in the person, Jesus Christ. A relationship is in the Godhead. A relationship is in the personality of who we can know. You and I were made in the image of God. He breathed into us the breath of life. We became a living soul because God gave us life in the image of him. We know him. Our relationship needs to be with him. The Bible is what he said. The Bible is his direction for us. The Bible is how we live our life. But listen to me, we must have a relationship with Jesus. We must have that relationship with the person. Jesus believed the Old Testament, Luke 24:27. You don't have to turn there, but he talked about Moses and the prophets. Why do we still use the Old Testament? Jesus used the Old Testament. Jesus quoted the Old Testament. Jesus taught from the Old Testament. Jesus shared the Old Testament. Jesus believed the Old Testament. It's not an old archaic book. It's not the old section. We don't discredit any of the Old Testament. Jesus didn't. Jesus taught from it. Jesus preached it. Jesus shared it. Jesus, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was God. Jesus wrote it. Jesus breathed it. Jesus lived it. Jesus did. We have a lot of churches today that shy away from the subject of hell. But Jesus didn't shy away from that either. Jesus talked about hell. Jesus gave examples of hell. Jesus gave warnings about hell. We like to go along with the idea that God is love all the time, and God is love. That's his essence. But God also judges sin. And God did create a hell. And hellfire is a real place. And we don't like to talk about it, and it makes people feel uncomfortable. But Jesus didn't shy away from it. And Jesus certainly warned people about it. And Jesus taught about hell. Listen, this list could go on and on. In fact, I want to my plan is to use this to segue into a series of messages. What did Jesus teach? What did Jesus say? What did Jesus believe? What do we know about what Jesus believes? Well, the Bible tells us all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about what Jesus said. And Jesus had a lot to say on the subject of hell. Thank goodness he also had some things to say on the subject of heaven. John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thank goodness John 14's in there. So Jesus taught about hell. Jesus taught about heaven. Jesus believed them. Jesus stood by them. Of course he did. He's the Word. I want us to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just a head knowledge of what the Bible says. And believe me, I think we should know all that we can of what the Bible says. I think we should study it and know it. We should meditate upon it. We should learn it. But listen, if we get all the head knowledge of the Bible and no personal relationship with Christ, then it's just all up here. We've had some people through the years that we've been concerned about. And I'm thinking of one gentleman in particular that came to our church a number of years ago. He has since moved away. He came to our church a number of years ago. This guy knew the Bible, knew Bible verses, had memorized scripture like I could only dream of. This guy was a scholar on knowing the Bible. But listen, never have I seen someone who didn't apply any of it. Just not at all. He ran off on his wife and he hardly ever came to church, and he didn't participate in any of the things that are, he refused to take communion. All these things that you and I take for granted because we learned it from the Bible. Listen, he knew Bible a lot up here. But it hadn't changed his life at all. Listen, I want us to have that walk with the Lord. I want us to have that talk with the Lord. I want us to know the person of Jesus Christ and not just everything that he did or said. I want us to have that relationship with him so that from the going down of the sun until the coming up the next day, 24 hours a day, we have that conversation with him. We have that talk with him. We have that walk with him because we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's my emphasis. It has been for a couple years now as I've been really emphasizing Jesus Christ. We can't get away from the fact that the disciples, the apostles in the book of Acts, as they began the movement that changed the world and so many people got saved, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That was their message. That's what they taught. That's what they preached, and people got saved. Why are we not having the power that the first church had? There's a number of things we point at for that, but we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have the tools that they had. Why aren't we seeing the results they had? Well, maybe we're shying away from Jesus Christ. We got too much head knowledge and not enough personal relationship. These early apostles, boy, they had walked with Jesus. They had seen Jesus. And they were able to tell people all the time. I heard a pastor say, can you imagine that conversation with Peter? As he's the first pastor of the church at Jerusalem, and the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees are criticizing him and coming after him. And they're like, tell us about the dispensational, blah, 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 blah. And Peter goes, listen, I don't know anything about that stuff. This is what I know. I saw Jesus Christ. I walked into the tomb the day the grave clothes were on the side. I saw him walk across the water and take my hand. I saw the nail prints in his hands and his feet. I saw that stuff. And he changed my life. So you can talk about your theology and all your different stuff and try to pigeonhole me into some corner, but you cannot change what Jesus did for me. Isn't it great? The Bible only tells us. I love this. The more this simple thought becomes reality to us, the more it'll change our outreach. Ready? The Bible tells us over and over again, I want you to be witnesses of me. That's what it tells us to do. We come up with 18-step soul-winning outlines and methods and all this stuff. Jesus said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go out and tell people what I did for you. Not everybody else. You can't speak for everybody else. But what did Jesus do for me? What did Jesus do for you? That's the message we have. A witness can only get up and tell. Imagine the witness on the stand. A witness can't say, well, I heard. The judge will say, I don't care about what you heard. Well, I think. No. The judge doesn't care about what you think. But the witness can say, well, this is what I saw. This is what happened to me. The judge wants to hear that. Why? Because they're a witness. We can only tell people about what Jesus did for us. So what a outreach that becomes when we tell people, listen, we all get scared, I think, about trying to witness to people, tell people about the Lord. Because we're afraid they're going to ask us questions we don't know the answer to, right? They're going to ask us something. They're going to try to stump us on something. They're going to give us something. We're going to be like, I don't know what to say. I don't know the answer to that. The good news is the Lord said, I just want you to go forth and be a witness of me. Just tell people what so you can say, I don't know. I don't know about all that stuff. You can call my preacher. You can come to church sometime. We have deacons that are very knowledgeable. They can help you with all that. But let me tell you what Jesus did for me. That could change the world. Let's pray.